If it's your fishing game, I am going to come through the internet and chokehold you. That is
what I'm going to do. Go ahead and do it. I'm so ready for the fishing game.
It's not a fishing game.
Ah! I might need to choose something different then. Welcome to episode 20 of One More Podcastle, the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter. My name is Eric Bailey, my name is Rick Thursday, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I wish I was still 20.
My name's Jason Lamb, I'm the resident Canadian, and tomorrow is my birthday.
What?
What?
Is it really?
No way.
It is. Oh, cool, man. Well, happy early-ish kind of birthday-ish.
Thanks.
How old are you going to be?
25.
25. Look at the baby.
Look at big the baby. Baby.
Bailey, your birthday's coming up too, ain't it?
Yeah, mine's on Monday.
Wow.
Right?
Nice.
Weird.
You guys' birthdays are lame. Mine's on Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
That is pretty cool. But you did say you wished you were still 20, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to regret that now because I just remembered back to when I was 20 and I had no money. I had no, like, future at that point, you know.
Ah, 20.
Kind of going through the motions, you know. You're a year away from legally allowed to drink at a bar. Like, it was, that's.
You Americans.
That's it's a bad year to be an American, that's for sure. Yeah. My games were still in boxes.
Oh. Man,
come on. It was gross.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really don't. I kind of wish I could go back and do that one again.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Especially knowing what you know now.
It's not much different. It's not.
Well, you said it, not me.
These past 7 years, I have lived a sheltered life.
All right, fair enough. It's cool. Why don't you get to play lots of video games, right?
Yeah.
Quite a bit, actually.
Well, have you played any old ones lately?
I have.
What?
I finished up Oracle of Ages. I finished Oracle of Ages.
Nice.
I assume it was awesome.
It is. I probably will never play it again.
Okay.
It's really difficult. I'm not that good of a video game player to begin with. So, I'll say this. I liked the attempt. I thought it was a great attempt to kind of make a sequel off of Link's Awakening. A lot of the things that they added to the game, the different aspects to really like the rings. You can get different rings to give you different abilities. You can switch rings on and off. I liked the idea of having a game that's really based around puzzles, especially, you know, from playing the original Legend of Zelda and A Link to the Past, gosh.
there are a lot of Zelda games. Yeah.
Where you get a little bit of both, that's really cool. I like how they brought a lot of the neat things about the original Legend of Zelda back in. So, like, you can burn bushes, and then when you go down, there's a guy down there. He's like, hey, thanks for paying to replace my door. And then you lose 100 rubies. Like, that's hilarious. Most of the items that you get are in the dungeons, or actually you have to go down the steps, and it's kind of like in that underground, I don't even know what you'd call it, but like, you know, like you walk over, you got to go up a ladder and the items just kind of chilling there.
Yeah.
They brought that
subterranean
back. Yeah. So they brought that. There's a couple of places like that. It's, I mean, I'm playing Oracle of Seasons now, and I get a feeling I'm going to like Oracle of Seasons better just because of the idea of changing the seasons from fall to winter to spring, summer, and that kind of thing affects the world that you're in. I mean, I've played the going back in time, coming into the future, back into the past and the present. Like, I've done that a couple of times now, and I'm kind of over it. And Oracle of Ages didn't really do anything new with it. So, but Seasons, I've just started Seasons, so I'm pretty excited about getting into that and playing through that. So, hopefully I'll have it done by next week, and I'll let you guys know.
Very cool. Can't argue with the Zelda game. How about you, Jason? Can you top Hunter?
I was playing some more of Super Metroid. Well, which is good.
That's a contender right there.
That's pretty good.
And
then
I was playing a retro style game.
Oh, in a way.
I've been playing my way through Serious Sam 3.
Wait a second. What? Is it Serious Sam a first-person shooter?
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
That was it? You're just wondering if it's a first-person shooter?
Well, just keep... Go ahead.
All right, it's very much in the style of a 90s shooter, where it's very little strategy, and you're literally just using giant guns to blow up wave after wave of crazy monsters.
Awesome!
See, now that's something I can get behind.
Yeah.
So, I like that.
You wander in an area, and there's literally 400 people coming at you, and you gotta blow them up with your minigun or gun that fires cannonballs.
Doom clone away.
Yep. Doom clone away.
Yeah, Doom clone. Kind of like Rise of the Triad. It was a Doom clone.
Yeah. Same with Half-Life.
I don't think I've ever played any of the Serious Sam games.
It's very much a... it goes from borderline homage to Duke Nukem to blatant ripoff.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Duke Nukem was a great game.
Serious Sam is literally Duke Nukem.
Literally
dropping one-liners?
Duke Nukem? Okay.
Is he wearing a Bill Clinton mask or something? Does he have all the cool sayings?
Yeah,
like,
I've
got
sayings.
Balls of steel and...
Yep. Has sunglasses.
Choose bubblegum.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
Yeah.
Are the alien bastards going to pay for busting up his ride?
The game starts with you being shot out of a helicopter, so...
Oh, okay. That's pretty close. That's pretty close.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
What's it? Is PC is what you played for, I'm guessing?
It's PC. Come on.
Well, I was just wondering. Gosh.
Yeah. It's got controller support.
And you don't use a controller?
No.
You're straight.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's got four-player local co-op.
Oh,
that's cool.
That is cool. Oh,
well, the reason why I was asking, I mean, not every game that you play on the PC is a first-person shooter.
No.
I believe that, you know, without the exception of maybe a few games out there, the mouse and keyboard are the best way to play because of the precision. But, I mean, you've played platformers and RPGs and stuff on PC, right?
Yeah, and then I hook up a controller.
Okay, what kind of controller do you use?
I'm using it's the Xbox 360 controller.
With the Windows USB, what's it called? Like the infrared wireless, whatever, Bluetooth?
Yeah, there's a little wireless hub. I've got a wireless one. I've got a USB, like direct USB one.
Okay, I was actually looking to pick one of those up, but I mean, I got a Super NES to USB converter, so it's...
Oh, nice.
You know, it's the only reason I'd pick up that kind of a controller would be to play something new, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like Super Meat Boy or something like that. But I just...
Yeah.
Eh.
Eh.
Wads.
Eh.
Bailey? Eh. Old video games? Question mark?
Yeah. I feel like my choice isn't nearly as exciting, but I went back...
It's okay. We're used to that.
I actually did like 3 hours worth of grinding on Dragon Warrior 2 the other night.
3 hours?
Just grinding? In this case, yes. Let me give you a little context. I'm one of those players that I love an RPG with a true open world feel. And in Dragon Warrior 2, I just got to the point, I don't know if I should put a minor spoiler alert here, but there's a certain point where you get a boat, you get a ship, and then suddenly you can access the entire play world. Like, there's no boundaries. You can go to whatever island, wherever you want to go, you can get there now. And it just opens up the entire game. And so I find these little pockets of creatures that are at just the right spot where I can kill them pretty easily, but they're still worth the experience points. And it's funny because I have too much pride to look at an FAQ, but let's just say I have successfully gotten lost and I have no idea what I'm supposed to do next.
Nice.
So I'm at that sweet spot in old school RPGs where, yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to kill thousands of monsters in the meantime.
Because that's good programming.
That just drives me nuts, because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it reminds me of somebody who's first time making a video game where the player is the enemy. You want to destroy the player. You want them to throw the controller down and never play again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And stuff like that's what that reminds me of. It's like, you know, what's the worst thing we could do? Well, let's just make it so they have no idea where they're going. This map's huge, you know, and off you go. Like, come on. Like, I don't want somebody to hold my hand, but if there's not some, you know, fisherman on the side, like, hey, what the hell? Where are you doing? Come back. No, you're that way. Like, you don't know me. I don't, just that way. The gods are telling me that way. Just go. Like, just something small like that. Yeah, that might be a little cheap and there's better ways of doing it, but man, that's a start, you know?
Well, it's funny you put it that way, because I'm not even being sarcastic. I genuinely actually really like that I can get lost. Because compared to the first game, which was so linear, I mean, it's a wonderful captivation to be able to be utterly lost. And maybe it's a genre thing, because in a platformer, it might piss me off. But in a role-playing game, like, I can really relate to this character now of just traveling the world and going through these vast expanses of whatever scenery we're grinding through. It's a neat escapism effect, in my opinion. But it's probably a game-to-game thing, because I definitely hear you.
I think there's a very fine line that you have to walk between, you know, holding somebody's hand to get them through the game, but yet giving them the freedom to feel that they can do at any time anything, you know, because there's some people who, you know, like you, if you really enjoy the game and you enjoy the environment that you're playing in, you enjoy the characters and the plot, you know, that's going to be more enticing for you just to go walk around, do whatever the hell you want. But if you're the kind of player that, like, no, I just want to beat this game, you know, there has to be something out there that comes back and says, okay, well, if you're just wanting to just barrel through, then just go here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I think Metroid's a perfect example of that. And I don't know if you've experienced this yet, Jason, but there are countless times when you're playing the game and you just feel like, what the hell am I supposed to do? But they've designed the game to kind of trigger your memory in terms of when you get to a certain area and, like, you see the super missile icon.
Yeah.
And then you don't have that yet. And then when you come back and when you finally get it, you're like, oh, I've got to go. Yeah, that spot over there. You know, like,
yeah,
a lot of
that's good design.
Exactly. You know, like, that's a perfect example of what's done right.
Yeah, because I like how you said earlier about back when the designers viewed the player as an enemy and they want to destroy the player. That's a really interesting insight. Like, I want to write a whole feature on that now and figure out when that shift happened. Because back in the arcades and the high score games, and back when that was all it was about, games didn't have an ending. That's literally what it was. Like, ooh, we're going to make it super hard and we want to kill the player. We want to suck quarters. And
exactly. It's all about sucking quarters out, right?
Yeah. And some of those
games back in those days. Yeah,
great.
Definitely.
Some of the games were great, but nonetheless, the player was definitely treated differently. It's interesting.
Well, now, if you can give me an idea for an article to write for me, then we're good. That's a fair trade.
All right. You should write an article on the top 5 sheep to ever appear in a video game.
I hate top lists.
Really?
I hate them so much.
Then you should write an article on why top X type articles are the worst type of gaming articles. Write that.
Maybe I will.
All right.
Maybe I will.
All right.
Payback time.
Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
Chicken butt.
Oh.
No? All right.
No, I'll give it to you.
Hey.
Yeah, give him that chicken butt.
Hunter wins again.
The juggernaut.
The juggernaut.
Whoa.
That's really good.
I've been working on it.
I can tell.
I guess so. He practices in the shower.
But apparently Bailey wanted to tell us something. So what is it, Bailey?
Wait, what? I completely missed it. What?
Oh, you're going to tell us something.
Oh, yeah. We
got completely derailed.
By the juggernaut.
The juggernaut.
Okay. What I was trying to say is, we got a new discussion question via email.
Oh, awesome. Sweet.
And the best part is, he sent this in like 3 weeks ago. Like, what? we actually have a backlog. Like, people are sending them in pretty consistently. We get one or two a week, which is great. Nice. So,
well, we're getting way too popular. We need to pull this back.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for being participatory and interacting with us and having
but
us.
But stop
read your
it! It's getting but ridiculous.
Chill out just a little bit. If you could vote more on the website, let's do that. If you feel the itch for interactivity, go vote in the Retro Showdown poll.
Oh, we get a lot of votes.
Oh, we do, but I'd love to get more. Getting 20 emails, it's tough to deal with, but we can deal with votes. I mean, we get a million votes, and that's not
but
a problem.
Keep sending us emails as well.
Yeah, keep sending us listener discussion questions, absolutely.
Yeah, we need those, but...
Because that past 20 seconds is just worthless now. I'm just going to... It means nothing.
The juggernaut. But the question that was sent in is from Joshua Van Nortwick, a.k.a. from the Retro Redemption crew. It's not really an a.k.a., I suppose. But the question goes like this. Have you guys considered having an occasional theme for your retro showdowns? I think it would be fun to have an RPG showdown, games from 1985 showdown, puzzle game showdown, etc. You could even have showdowns from the same franchise or developer. Just a simple thought from a faithful listener. Thank you, Joshua, and I think all three of us are probably smiling to ourselves right now. Gentlemen, what do you think? Have we ever thought about having a theme for the Retro Showdown?
Funny story.
No.
Funny
story. Just next question. Next question.
I think after
should I tell
alluding...
a story?
I think you should, because
yes,
I think
please.
We've alluded
right.
to it. Let's throw the lid open on this.
If you paid attention last, I don't know, say like 4 or 5 episodes, you've probably heard Hunter reference the Lost episode or the episode that doesn't exist.
Because basically, it doesn't, Jason. It never
it doesn't.
Happened.
It never happened. Basically, we decided to sit down several weeks ago and record the Twisted Metal podcast, where we each chose a game from the Twisted Metal franchise. Mm-hmm. So, after sitting down and recording the entire episode, Hunter then realized that he didn't actually record the episode. And instead of re-recording it and going through our arguments again, we decided to do something else.
It was
though
a
I
sign.
Did still bring
I think it
Twisted
was a,
Metal.
It's, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
And then when I went back and edited, apparently you guys had already spoken about yes, Jason bringing Twisted Metal.
Yep.
So, I mean, the way that we record this podcast, it's at least back then, it was a one-fold operation. It was me recording the Skype conversation.
Yep.
Which, if you listen back in the older episodes, you can tell that the quality of my track is a little better because I'm the direct track and I'm hosting Bailey and Jason together. So I hit record before we started. I swear we did. And then I always go back and look to make sure that it was recorded, and it wasn't. So we had to reconvene at a later date to record yet another episode because that episode no longer exists.
Yeah, because we normally record Thursday evenings and publish Monday morning after all the editing. I think that week we came back Saturday night to record. Is that right?
I thought it was Sunday night.
Yeah, no, it was Sunday. I had crunch time for like four or five hours to do it. So,
jeez. So kudos to you, Hunter, for pulling double duty there.
Well, I mean, you know, 4 or 5 hours to edit, you know, it's not that bad. But doing 4 to 5 hours straight, that's where it's like a little nerve-wracking. But I think the episode ended up turning out all right. I'm trying to remember. I think that was the... Was that the episode that I brought Beavis and Butthead? Was that that episode?
I don't remember.
No. Micro Machines.
Oh. Micro Machines for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Theme, Spooger Man, and Twisted Metal 2.
That's right.
That's right. So to answer your question, Joshua, yes.
No. Absolutely not.
We have considered having occasional themes, and we even tried it once, and it didn't work out. I think I can fairly confidently say we will have themes, and we might even
No, Bailey. No.
With the caveat that we're not yet tired of just bringing random games yet. We'll probably still do that most of the time, but we're certainly open to themes. I'll put it that way. I think Jason is. I think Hunter's shooting.
Oh, I'm open to themes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'm just busting balls.
Giving me crap.
It's busting chops today. Can ask anybody.
So themes, special guests for the showdown, things like that will happen. So thanks for caring enough about it to ask. And I'm sorry that our listeners had to miss out on what was probably the greatest Twisted Metal debate of all time. That was pretty intense.
It was pretty good.
Because I took Twisted Metal 3. Or no, did I take 4?
No, you took 3.
I did take 3.
Yeah, I took 2.
And I had the first one.
Oh, man. So good. Twisted Metal.
Such a great game. I played it for like a week and a half straight after that. Like, I played 1 through 4 and then Black, and I was like, I can't get enough of Twisted Metal. I found this sweet Twisted Metal fan site that had all the endings and all the backstories and even stuff from the first game that they cut out. Videotaped and cut out. It was amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, that series was one that me and my best friend, for us, he was the one with the PlayStation, so that was a must-buy. Whenever any of them came out, we'd get it, and I'd go over to his house, and we would play it till we got sick of it. Or at least for the first 4, definitely.
David Jaffe, man.
Yeah.
David Jaffe. Good question.
Oh, yeah?
It was a good question.
Oh, all I got was
sorry.
A question.
I sorry.
Got a question. That's okay. Well, speaking of good questions, you guys ready for a music break?
Definitely.
All right, let's dance. Sweet little chip tune is called Into Combat by Gavin Harrison. You can actually follow him on Twitter at gharrisonsounds. Good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
If you don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has chosen a retro game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce it, and then we'll all argue about which one's the best. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page on the website. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway your vote. You can download that free chiptune while you're there anyway that you just heard if you liked it. And 2 episodes ago, for episode 18, do you guys know who won?
The Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Did the Juggernaut win?
The Juggernaut won.
Wait, let me get to him.
Bonanza Brothers.
The Juggernaut.
Yeah, Bonanza Brothers beat out Deja Vu by one vote, might I add.
Really?
And Rise of the Triad. Yeah, Deja Vu almost pulled it out. I'm surprised, actually.
Wow. I should probably start voting. I haven't voted since, like, episode 2.
See, I always vote, but I don't always vote for my own game.
You're not supposed to tell people that, Bailey.
Why not? What's should I not? Was that a big mistake?
I mean, it's a little late now. It's not like we can go back in time.
Did I just ruin the integrity of the Retro Showdown? This free little retro gaming podcast on the internet?
It's free?
Oh.
Why aren't we taxing it?
The slow clap.
Oh, my.
Jason wins with the slow clap.
Jason wins. I don't know what the question is, but the answer is Jason.
Mr. Jason Lamb, everybody.
Mr. Jason Lamb, everybody. He'll be here all night.
Thank you.
Tip your waitresses.
Try the veal.
They don't serve veal here.
Nope, because if they did, we'd have to tax it.
No.
Oh,
Bonanza Brothers. That's a fun game.
That's all right.
All right, enough to win.
You shut your mouth, Juggernaut.
All right. We'll see how tonight goes.
Cool. Well, I guess I'm ready, Jason, official timekeeper man of the clever punchlines, whenever you're ready to give me 1 minute.
You have 1 minute. You may begin.
Tonight, I've chosen a game based on a popular media franchise, Jurassic Park, for the NES. That's right, the 8-bit version, not the mere side-scrolling platformer you may recognize from the 16-bit console era. No, no, no. This is the 1993 release that has an overhead viewpoint. It's so wonderful to see that on the NES. I wish more games had it. But using an extensive arsenal of weaponry, you get to shoot dinosaurs. Fantastic. And when you're not shooting dinosaurs, you're shooting enormous mega giant dinosaurs in the boss fights. It really doesn't get much better. In fact, I like to think of it as kind of an early survival horror game for the NES. It's the closest thing you could find. And it's Jurassic Park. What more do I have to say?
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
The Juggernaut is ready.
Jeez.
The Juggernaut may begin.
Things are about to get amazing. Amazing Spider-Man, that is, for the Game Boy, released in 1990. Developed by Rare, you play this amazing beat-em-up action game as Spider-Man against some of his most deadliest foes. Your enemies have discovered Spider-Man's true identity, Peter Parker, and has kidnapped his wife, Mary Jane. To those webheads out there, this is after the Amazing Spider-Man Annual Volume 1, Issue 300, due to Spider-Man not donning his Venom suit. You battle through the city, rooftops, Central Park, and the subway, just to name a few, knocking any incoming foes miles off the screen, web-slinging to your heart's content from building to building, knocking down enemies as you go. I think my web sense is tingling. It's Spider-Man. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good.
That was amazing.
I'll give you that. All right. For this week, I brought the Game Collection Super Marathon, collecting both Marathon and Marathon 2. And no, not for the Mac OS. And no, not the port for Windows 95. But instead, it is the collection for the Apple Bandai Pippin, the console released between 1995 and 1997. Marathon, created by Bungie, who would later go on to do Halo, is a first-person shooter where, unlike many of the first-person shooters at the time, focused intensely on story as you progress through level after level of horrible monsters in this sci-fi epic. For this week, your choice should be Super Marathon.
For the Pippin?
The Pippin?
The Pippin.
You just brought out
the
Pippin?
Apple Bandai Pippin.
You picked a PC game with a controller?
No, it's not a PC game. The Pippin's a console.
No, come on. No, no, it's
basically
not. It's a PC game.
Mac with a controller, let's be honest.
It's a console. It was marketed as a console.
It's loosely marketed as a console.
You know what else was
loosely?
You know what else was marketed as a console? The Virtual Boy. Just gonna throw that out there for you.
Just gonna.
That's true.
Gonna, or the N-Gage.
That's true. The Pippin. It was ahead of its time. It was the Dreamcast of its era.
Oh, oh
don't you dare!
Blasphemy.
Don't you dare! I will come through this internet and force choke you.
If it's a force choke, why do you have to go anywhere? You can do that telekinetically.
You gotta have it's all about the eyesight. They gotta be in eyesight.
That's true. The eye contact is important for a good force choke.
Yeah, it's true.
You hear that, kids? Oh, and it's a Doom clone. I mean, have we talked about this yet?
It's not a Doom clone.
Yes, it is.
Just to remind everyone, Doom clone was a term used in the 90s to describe any first-person shooter before the term first-person shooter got popularized.
So let me explain to you a little story about the first time I ever encountered Marathon, which was watching Red vs. Blue, the Machinima short series about Halo, and in a particular episode, one of the characters goes back in time, and it's Marathon is the game footage that they grab from. And I watched this episode thinking, what is this terrible pile of game that they grabbed, to find out that it's Marathon.
I will give Marathon credit for this one thing, Jason. I never thought I would see a game with a heads-up display bigger than Deja Vu's.
Good point.
That thing is a monster.
Very good point.
That thing is huge.
And you have to think, this game ran on a 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Yeah.
Slow as can be.
The only Pippin I remotely like is Scottie Pippin. That's the best Pippin as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, from NBA now, Jam, he was awesome.
Yeah, Scottie Pippin,
Here's the thing.
He's got game.
The UI you're thinking about was for the original Macintosh version. When they ported it to the Pippin, they stripped it down and made it much less intrusive.
Ah, okay. I'm looking up on YouTube Pippin version. Still looks pretty big to me.
It doesn't take up the entire screen.
Well,
it's at the bottom of the screen now.
Yeah, the bottom 2/5 of the screen.
Better than wrapping around the entire screen.
Well, apparently, Marathon was one of the earliest games to employ free look to give the player the ability to look up or down, and the first major release that was used the mouse to do both.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, until they designed multi-staged levels, what was the purpose to look up and down?
Yeah. What do you mean? There was multi-staged levels in first-person shooters. They had them in Doom as well. Height.
There's no reason to look up and down. In Doom,
sure
it's,
there is.
No, in Doom, it was auto-targeting.
Yes, on this, you could look up and down. So if people are on, let's say, a catwalk above you or a ledge, you could look up at them and see that they're firing down at you and then could shoot them.
Yeah, but you don't have to look up, though. It's auto-targeted as long as they're on your screen.
Maybe you're looking for power-ups.
At the ground?
Yeah, looking around. They may be up in the air somewhere.
Who puts power-ups up in the air?
Because then you have to climb the stairs and jump off the ledge to get it. Normally you wouldn't see it.
You know who puts power-ups way up in the air? Scottie Pippin.
Does he?
He just jumps right up there, man. He's got mad hops.
So let's talk about Jurassic Park.
Isn't it awesome?
Let's not.
I love Jurassic Park.
So let's talk about Jurassic Park. Again, you pick the worst version of the series.
Au contraire. No way. Not the worst version.
Really?
Really?
You wouldn't pick the Super NES version? Or the Sega CD version?
Well, the Sega CD version is pretty sweet, but I mean...
because of full motion video, thank you very much.
The worst version would be if they made it for the Pippin. Ayo!
Wow. You're probably right.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
You were probably
I know.
Correct.
Yeah, that would be the worst version, the Scottie Pippin version of Jurassic Park.
You got it. So, oh man. Okay, so Jurassic Park, probably one of the most blandest looking games I've ever seen.
What?
There's so much brown. You know what this reminds me of? Yeah. It reminds me of Bill and Ted's Excellent Video Game Adventure.
No.
It's the same idea, no. But it's just a different color.
No.
It's so... When a single color takes up 80% of your screen, that is... You need better artists.
Okay.
Way better
artists.
Okay,
two things. Thing number one, it sounds like you never got past the first half of the first level. Right?
No.
There's more than brown.
Okay, blue, green.
Yeah,
it's a single color.
Other colors. It looks really good for an NES game. It's a 1993. I mean, it's late on the cycle. They knew how to make it look good. There's entire levels that don't have brown in them.
Okay, so let's go with blue.
Yeah. What do you got against blue?
It's when it takes up 90% of the screen. I've got a big issue.
What do you have against colors, man?
I found out that clear is not a color. I don't believe that, but I found that out.
And
why
and
is that? Why do you?
Just real quick. Thing number two, in Bill and Ted's Excellent Video Game Adventure, you can't shoot dinosaurs in the face.
No, but you can throw cupcakes.
That's not nearly as cool.
That sounds better to me.
Oh,
thank you, Jason.
Come on.
Thank you.
Come on, guys.
Dude, cupcakes. Okay, why are you playing as Dr. Alan Grant?
Because he's the protagonist in the Jurassic Park film that the video game is based on.
Yeah, he's a paleontologist.
Right.
Yeah, I'm watching a screenshot, and he's firing explosive grenades.
No, he knows how to do that. That's like paleontology 101.
They couldn't get the guy who was hunting down velociraptors in the movie?
Wait a second.
No, That would be absolutely silly. Come on, Jason.
Why would we get the guy trained in armed combat?
Wait a second. Jason, are you a fan of the Half-Life franchise?
I am.
Do you know where I'm going with this right now?
Are you talking about the fact that you play a theoretical physicist who takes on an alien invasion from a different dimension?
Using various large firearms?
Yes, but...
Well, I'm looking forward to this, but...
You're never actually given a backstory on Gordon Freeman's life, unlike Dr. Alan Grant, who's a paleontologist.
That's just as much a backstory. He could have been some kind of mercenary before that. You don't know.
You know what? Fine. I'll give it Half-Life's ridiculous for that reason, and so was Jurassic Park.
Okay, great. Well, they're both great games. Equally great games.
No.
Wow.
I couldn't say it with a straight face, I admit. It's not as good as Half-Life. It's just barely below it.
So I have a question. A
little bit. What's up?
When you blow up, because that's what you're doing, you're blowing up dinosaurs in this game.
They explode, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, why do they explode?
Because the game is so awesome, it just couldn't handle itself.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, do you want the reason that makes sense?
I would, if you don't mind.
Well, on the NES console, they just didn't have the memory to handle all those dead dinosaurs lying around. Because there's already some screens with the little dinosaurs where they're already reaching the limit on animated sprites on the screen that are taxing the hardware. If they had to do additional memory for all the dead ones lying around, that'd be a big problem. So instead, they just blow up.
Why couldn't
they just make them even, like, kind of flash and disappear like every other game?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, even Resident Evil didn't have the memory to hold dead zombie bodies on the ground. That's not what I'm talking about. When you shoot a zombie, it's a natural death. You're shooting it in the head. It's dying. It's on the ground. It doesn't explode in a puff of smoke.
Wait. If I understand this correctly, are you guys not a fan of explosions?
I'm a fan of explosions when it makes sense.
No, come on.
This is not a Michael Bay movie, man, okay? Like, come on.
I loved The Rock. I think it's a wonderful movie. I love the fan theory that Sean Connery's character is James Bond.
Yeah.
Love it.
I heard that like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
It was the first I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, it's great. It works because there's even a scene where they like check his name and the line in the movie is, there's no record of him in the U.S. or Great Britain. It's kind of a little hat tip and a wink to the viewer, you know?
Nudge, nudge. Yep, look what I did for you guys.
Sean Connery.
Making dinosaurs blow up, because I think that's hilarious. It doesn't work. It doesn't.
Yes, it does. I love it. I think it really enhances the game.
What? Okay.
Boom! Dinosaur.
Hold on. Okay. So.
I'm holding.
What time period does this game take place? Like, is it supposed to reenact the movie?
No, it goes into an expanded universe. Like, it just extends the canon. They had such a vision to really immerse themselves in the narrative and go even further.
So they take the blockbuster name of Jurassic Park and make a crap game with whatever they want in it? Because I honestly don't remember Professor Grant ever swimming uphill in a schooner? I don't even know what you would call this.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's in the book. Jurassic Park was originally a book by Michael Crichton, and that river scene is in the book.
Who reads books? I mean, come on.
Well,
I don't even read instruction manuals anymore.
Hunter, if you don't like explosions, you have to like books. You have to pick one or the other.
Books, is that what it is?
Or explosions. Which will it be?
I think I'll just choose death. I'm going to choose death.
Okay, why is there a level taking place on Mars?
It's inside a volcano, okay?
When does he go inside a volcano?
That's not
in
even possible.
In the video game.
Oh!
He would burst into flames. No, there's a lake in the volcano.
It's a video game based on a blockbuster movie franchise.
Hunter, are you seriously? You, appreciator of obscure consoles. Are you really the kind of retro gamer that demands the game meet the plot line exactly?
No, I am not. But I expect that it loosely go by the line every once in a while.
It has to somewhat respect the original.
Yeah, this game's, the movie took place like right here. The game is in China. Like, there's nothing. Oh, they brought the DNA strand because that, come on. Like, that's... They're not even trying.
Oh, they're super trying. There's dinosaurs. There's a paleontologist. There's guns. There's fences. There's settings that are indoors. There's environments that are outdoors. There are triceratopses, Tyrannosaurus rexuses, velociraptorses.
I will say this. And Jason, you're right. This does look like he's on Mars. What the hell is that? None of this makes any sense. I'll give you this, Bailey.
Yep.
I would rather play Marathon.
It's not giving
than
me
play
anything.
Jurassic Park.
That's
for the
giving
NES.
Jason something. That's not giving me something.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me.
You jerk.
Let me.
You.
You know what? You know what the quality of this game
trust.
Is like.
What?
This game is almost as bad as the dialogue in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, the dialogue is awesome.
Oh,
wait,
let me
quote Spider-Man here.
Please.
Don't worry about me, tail twirler. Your sting isn't strong enough to stop old Spidey.
That's right, man. That's straight out the comic book. What?
Okay, when he defeats Hobgoblin, when I'm through with you, pumpkin brain, you'll never trick-or-treat again. And he spells through wrong. T-H-R-U. Yuck.
No, you've only got so much space to put the characters. I mean, you gotta, you know, it's leet speak. Before there was leet.
Before there was leet speak?
Yeah,
it's awful.
Why is there a level where you're literally just punching bats? That's no fun. That's not Spider-Man-esque.
What? He gets attacked by bats all the time.
No, he doesn't.
No, he did. What?
I know the
you
guy.
Need to
he lives
you need
door.
To read the comics, man.
This isn't Batman. It's
you know, I do read the comics, and I prefer the bats. I think it's just Marvel making fun of Batman. It doesn't work because Batman's cooler.
I'll give you that. Yeah, Batman's way cooler than Spider-Man. But Amazing Spider-Man for the Game Boy. Okay, let me explain why I picked this game. Because it's actually kind of, it's a very touching moment for me and my... my retroness that I'm embracing at a very old man.
The first time I played this game was actually the first time I ever played a Game Boy game. And I played this game at the 1990 Nintendo World Championship in Cincinnati. We went up there. They had a huge cascade of Game Boys lined up, all like kind of tacked to the wall, sort of, so you couldn't like pull it off and run with it. It was like a DVD shelf, basically, and every game had a different, or every Game Boy had a different game in it. And this was the first one I picked up and played. And I'll never forget that, like just that whole day. You know, I played in the tournament and lost terribly. It was the first time I played World Track Meet, because the game was on top of a giant sneaker that was like soft and filled with air, and like the trackpad was up top. Like, and I remember playing Amazing Spider-Man and thinking, I am buying a Game Boy, and this is the first game that I buy. And so it was, says the Juggernaut.
Your story is soft and full of air.
Whoa. You had horrible taste as a child.
Oh, I was four. I was like four and a half at max.
That's all right. I was two then.
Did either of you guys go to the World Championship?
I was two.
So no. Bailey?
No.
I live the World Championship of Nintendo every day.
Yeah. Yeah, with this terrible retro pick of Jurassic Park for the NES.
Not terrible. Okay, I'll give you this. That was a pretty cool story.
Thanks.
But we're not having a story contest, are we?
No, we're not. This is not the Moth. Nope. This is not a slam fest. Okay, so the general idea of Jurassic Park is that it is a top-down shooter, run-and-gun game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, this is the slowest, worst display of a run-and-gun top-down shooter I have ever seen. And I know my run-and-gun games. I would rather play Cabal.
You'd rather play what?
Cabal.
Really?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I mean, I like Jurassic Park. I think I'd still rather play Jurassic Park.
I mean, is it just the idea of getting from point A to point B? That's it?
Well, no. There's key cards. There's dinosaurs to shoot, guns to get, ammo to pick up. What you have to appreciate is the way ammo...
Do the dinosaurs blow up no matter what weapon you use?
Oh, yeah. They blow up.
Ugh.
What's the green balls you're picking up? Is it dinosaur snot?
Eggs. Those are eggs.
They look like
eggs.
Dinosaur snot.
I don't care what they look like. They're eggs.
But the point of the game is to kill the dinosaurs and escape the island.
Yeah.
Why are you collecting eggs?
Well, because you can't let them hatch.
You know, it's got nothing to do with any coherent storyline that had anything to do with Jurassic Park.
Oh.
This is a game that was designed, and then they reskinned it for Jurassic Park. That's exactly what
No.
It's like bad fan fiction, the game.
That's a good example.
I think he's describing Amazing Spider-Man myself. But
no, because Amazing Spider-Man, you could blast people off the screen when you punch them. It's awesome.
No, you know what? You know what? The Amazing Spider-Man on Game Boy suffers from the same problem as the Turtles games on the Game Boy.
That they're amazing?
No, they're not. I mean, they're pretty good, but the protagonist takes up too much of the screen again, and it could have potential. But it doesn't have the freedom of movement you say it does. Earlier you said, and I quote, you can go web-slinging to your heart's content.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yes, but yes you can. It's,
no, you can't.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to web-sling all the time, and you can't do that.
Well, no, because you run out of web stuff.
So, can you even shoot web in this game?
Yeah. Like little web balls? Yeah.
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 Little web balls, huh?
Well, yeah, I don't know what the technical term is.
Why not?
I call them little web balls because I like Batman. Batman's way cooler than Spider-Man.
Why didn't you pick a Batman game? Really
cool. Yeah.
Because none of the Batman games are as cool as this one.
Oh, that's funny. You're a comedian, Eric Hunter.
I'm also a truth speaker.
Why is this just like another adaptation of the Sinister Six?
Well, it's...
Why in every single Spider-Man game do you have to fight the Sinister Six? Why can't they just...
Who do you want to fight? Like the X-Men? You want a crossover? Is that what you're looking for? Or?
No, I'd just rather have not the exact same villains every single time.
Well, Spider-Man only has six villains, Jason.
Oh, right.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, Spider-Man's got more villains than six, but it's the six that made up Spider-Man in the beginning. Who do you want to fight?
How about Venom?
Yeah, We fight Venom in this one.
Oh, you do?
Yes, you do.
Well, yeah.
Why not Morbius?
Six?
Who?
Who?
Morbius.
Morbius. Huh? Which one's Morbius?
He's like a vampire guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like something to be in Jurassic Park. I mean, come on.
What?
Black Cat?
That doesn't make any sense.
The Vulture?
You don't fight vampires in... What do you... What?
Shocker?
No, it's not a shocker. It's just dumb.
Hydro Man?
Just gonna keep going, or...
I'll keep going.
I know you will. You got that Wikipedia page.
Book of Knowledge? Off the top of my head.
Oh, wow.
Jason,
impressive.
New rule. The next time you're on the Book of Knowledge, you have to edit the page to include a One More Castle link again.
Oh, yeah, because someone got... Who got angry at us today?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Someone did mention that.
Yeah, all right. I'm on it. Let's edit Jurassic Park.
This game sucks. One More Castle.
Oh, don't you even. No,
it's just
no.
boring, man. It looks like the control looks stiff.
Hunter.
The graphics are bland.
The graphics are great, and you can move in 8 directions. You know how many NES games you can move in 8 directions? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Well,
that's because there's not a whole lot of games that have a top-down view.
I know. It was one of the few.
Okay, the name a game that you can move in 8 directions that's not a top-down view.
Contra.
No.
Well, I guess that is still top-down. I'm thinking of the parts for that are top-down. But the game isn't a top-down game, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more... What would you call that? Like a 3/4, maybe?
And that's Super C, anyway. What am I talking about?
I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Cause...
I got All your right. back. Hold on, Jason's going to say something. What you got, Jason?
I've added to the Jurassic Park page.
Okay, I better go check this out. As editor in chief.
Oh God, it got deleted.
What? Already? Already?
Yeah.
You didn't save it, did you?
You have a new message. Let's change.
What did you do?
So all you're doing in Jurassic Park is rescuing things?
Now, Hunter, it's kind of like an Easter egg hunt with guns. Doesn't that sound awesome?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Right? I just blew your mind.
A little bit.
Just like the brains that get blown out of the dinosaurs in the game. Kaboom!
No,
dinosaur.
They go. They don't go kaboom. They go
kaboom.
Poof. They go poof.
They do kind of go poof. That's true.
Yeah.
Kapoof!
God, Marathon is just another boring first-person shooter that did
it's
nothing
not.
New.
It has a story.
Oh. Why? Yeah. Who plays a first-person shooter for the story? I don't. Jason, I mean, I Bailey, do you?
No. And
have you ever played a first-person shooter for the story? No, you go into a first-person shooter to blow the crap out of things.
You can still do that here, but it's like having your cake and eating it too with the story.
That's impossible because the cake is a lie, Jason. The cake is a lie.
And it would be a cake that you have to have Scottie Pippen around to eat. And I don't have a spare Scottie Pippen around the house.
That thing retailed for $600.
The Pippen?
$600. U.S.
Yeah.
Sorry, U.S. Let's
Dreamcast
by
this time.
Would you stop
like driving that one in there?
No, you're not driving it. You're sock pianoing it.
Oh, we're not starting this again. No. The answer is no.
Yeah, Jason. Stop it.
Okay, Jason, I got to ask. Why the Pippin? Why did you pick the Pippin?
We haven't done a Pippin game yet.
And we never will.
Oh, we haven't done a piece of poop
ever
either.
Again.
We have done a Pippin game. Marathon. Well, Super Marathon is, you know, it's a rare game to find now. It's by the creators of Halo, which a lot of people like. And, it's the Dreamcast of its time.
Oh, my God.
Jason, the difference between your game and Hunter's game
yes.
is if Hunter's game wins the Retro Showdown vote, I'll be like, okay, you know, fairly popular game, what game, Spider-Man, people love Spider-Man. If your game wins the Retro Showdown, Jason, I won't even know how to take it or what to think. I might have to go cry in a corner.
I'm going to claw my eyes out.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
Pippin.
That's what I do when I get angry. I claw my eyes out.
What?
I've got a big bag of eyeballs sitting
Did
in the
really
corner.
Make you that angry?
It is a Pippin game. I mean,
you're just angry about the the Dreamcast reference.
Oh, I am so pissed off right now. You have no idea.
There are Dreamcast fans listening to this that are just enraged right now. Enraged.
Why? I'm not saying it as a negative thing. I'm saying it was ahead of
its
time.
It's not a worthy comparison, though.
So you're blind to what you're saying as well? That's
no.
Ignorance.
Listen, it featured a CD-ROM drive. It featured a 14.4 kilobyte modem so you could connect to the internet. It had its own online service.
You just named like 20 systems.
You don't understand the magnitude, the height to which the Dreamcast has held up in the community. You don't understand the reverence
people have for it. Okay, I've edited the Jurassic Park page. Okay. It stayed now.
Okay.
Where am
it's
I looking?
Under reception.
Why did it not stay before?
I don't know.
Historically forgetful. You're a jerk.
In episode 20 of the One More Podcastle, the game is discussed in great detail. The game is discussed as being bland, repetitive, and historically forgetful.
That's very true.
Okay. You know what, guys? Screw you guys. Let's go to final arguments.
You're not doing anything but rescuing. Okay, mission one. You rescue Tim from the stampeding Triceratops herd. Okay. All right, rescue Lex. Who's Lex? From the T-Rex.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, like forever ago.
Maybe
new one comes out
in
2015.
Why would I want to restore power to Jurassic Park? That's the absolute worst thing to do.
No, you cannot accuse the game of
mission
not following
five.
The movie if you can't remember why it's the same.
Mission 5, radio for help. So I got to go through 4 missions before I radio for help.
All right.
Wait, why is credits a mission? That doesn't make any sense. Do I play credits?
It has the greatest video game credits of all time.
Explain.
Like when you beat the game, the credits roll. But while the credits are rolling, you can still shoot stuff.
What?
Admit it, it's awesome. So
the credits are better than the actual game.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. The credits are better than the credits in your game. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, I want to see this. Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's kind of cool. It reminds me of Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh.
Where like you go through like the
good call.
It's the studio and you're looking at people's notebooks and stuff and it's like so and so did the artwork and so did the programming, but they're like dead in the chair.
So classic.
All right, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
I think it's a great time to close. Yeah.
All right.
Closing arguments. Hunter, why should any listener vote for The Amazing Spider-Man on Game Boy?
Because The Amazing Spider-Man is what it is. It's amazing. You know, what are you going to do?
It is what it is. Jason, why should anyone vote for your marathon game on the Apple Bandai Scottie Pippen?
You should vote for Super Marathon because it's a really great sci-fi epic developed by Bungie, who went on to develop Halo, which a lot of console players love, and came out on the great Apple Bandai Dreamcast Pippin.
Ooh, that's a low blow. Rick Thursday here. Listeners, you should vote for Jurassic Park on NES because it's one of the few top-down shooters on the console. Because Hunter tried to say it wasn't accurate to the movie and yet couldn't remember who Lex was. And because it has the most awesome video game credits of all time. All right, great showdown, guys. I want a quick shout-out to Ben Landis for our intro and outro tracks. The interlude artist was Gavin Harrison with his Into Combat track that you can download on the podcast page. Hunter, you have any shout-outs tonight that you want to do?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net. And I don't think I mentioned this, but I am now a contributor for the Video Game Hardcore. So you can check that out at officialvghc.com. And it's a pretty cool site. There's some really cool guys that write that post stuff on there. It's retro games, it's new games, it's news, it's everything. So check it out.
Yeah, it's true. We have a good relationship with them. Two of their writers actually have every other week contributions at One More Castle as well. So I'm glad to hear that we're mixing our gene pool so much, so to speak. That's the worst metaphor ever. I apologize. It's kind of gross.
I puked a little in my mouth. Just
that was pretty bad. Speaking of puking in my mouth, Jason, any shoutouts?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And, you know what? I'm not going to shout out to anyone.
Oh, well, look at you.
Wait, does that mean that we get an extra shout out? Because I want to shout out to Bailey.
Oh, hey.
You can shout out to Bailey.
Thanks, Hunter. I really appreciate that.
No problem. You can check out Eric Bailey at Nintendo_Legend at NintendoLegend.com.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I'd like to shout out Eric Hunter. He's a fantastic retro gamer with quite a collection of consoles. You should follow him on Twitter at Eric Hunter. He could use some more followers because I think he's the best kept retro gaming secret on the internet.
Aww, making me blush.
Aw, yeah. You know me. Alright, so keep checking out onemorecastle.com. Follow us at onemorecastle on Twitter. And we have a Facebook page as well. You can download the Interlude Artist track on the site. Keep sending us emails at podcast@onemorecastle.com. And listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!